I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
It started with a colored man accused of raping a white woman, a confession extracted, a trial hastily set. But just as the trial opened, a mob stormed the courtroom and torched the building to get to the defendant, George Hughes. Court officials fled through a second-story window and left Hughes in a steel vault with a bucket of water. Firefighters tried to save the courthouse, but the mob slashed the water hoses to keep the blaze going. The mob then dynamited the vault where Hughes had been left. The mob found him dead, crushed by the explosion, the water bucket almost empty. The courthouse then burned to the ground. Disappointed that they had not gotten to Hughes before he died, the people in the mob hanged his body from a cottonwood tree and set it on fire with furniture they looted from the nearby colored hotel. Then they torched the colored district as the colored people of Sherman fled to the homes of white friends or left town. A half dozen colored homes escaped the torching, only because a white man told the mob the houses belonged to him. This was the world Pershing was growing up in. He had learned the rules early in life. Now he was standing at a vacant curb, just him and a white man out prowling. He had never seen the man before. Imagine he must have come in from the country and made a beeline for the colored section with one thing on mind, as was his prerogative. Not just any colored girl, a nice, clean colored girl. The man waited, and Pershing assessed the situation. He was on the colored side of town, a block from the room house. He knew every turn alley. He was in the majority around here. He looked at the man. "A nice, clean colored girl," he said, calculating the risk of what he might say next. "Let me see. I tell you what. You get your mama for me, and I'll get you one." He didn't wait to see the man's reaction. Pershing vanished into the colored alleys of Five Points. He couldn't believe what had come out of his mouth. His face was flushed and his hands shook. He could get hanged for that. Nothing more needed to happen to remind him who had the power over him and what they could do if they wanted. Pershing said years later, "But it wasn't that you liked the taste of it." Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on a Saturday, ready to do some feedback. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. We only got one this week on Stitcher and iTunes and Podomatic, all the stuff. We only got one 5-star review, for real, y'all.
For real, y'all.
Thought we was in this coronavirus together, y'all. Thought we was all...
Ain't y'all the same people that was hitting us? Oh, y'all keep doing the podcast. Don't take no time off.
Thought we was all quarantined together. Well, back to taking time off. I'm not going crazy for you niggas. Yeah, I'm grateful. Nah, just kidding. You can find us on those places. Leave us 5-star reviews. The official weapon of the show is...
the taser.
And the unofficial sport...
bulletball.
And bulletball extreme. And of course, feedback. That's what we do, today. And we'll get to that. But first, that excerpt is from The Warmth of Other Suns. Which, you know, like I said, is an amazing book about the Great Migration and follows the story of three different black people. It's by Isabel Wilkerson. But that like passage right there brought so much stuff together, because you have obviously the history and the miscarriage of justice that has happened in this town and then, you know, to black people, the destructiveness of the white racist mob, right? Like, it wasn't enough that they burned down their own essential courthouse, because this is before segregation, so it wasn't like it was the black courthouse. They burned down their own courthouse to be like, yeah, so, well, actually, no, it might have been during segregation, but it wasn't a black courthouse, it's just a courthouse. But they were like, listen, we'll burn down our own courthouse to get this nigga. So no more trials the rest of the week, I guess, right? Till we build the fucking courthouse back up. To kill the black man, trying to break in, they killed him. Were so upset that they killed him and didn't get a chance to torture him while he was still alive, hung his body, burned down the colored section of town, people's houses, took the furniture from the colored hotel, used that as kindling. Like, these type of stories are all throughout the history of the United States. You know, when I hear people say stuff like, I can't believe this is the America that it has always been the America.
Right. You don't want to believe the reality of what America actually is. Like, okay, you're ignorant and you don't know history, or either you know history and you don't care.
Yeah, what you're really saying is, I don't know my history. I don't know history.
Correct.
I wasn't taught this stuff. And, I just didn't believe it. I didn't conceptualize it. Black people have been saying this shit forever. I just never believed it. Or, you know, if you're black and you just don't, you know, when you see black people do stuff like throw away, you know, their civic duty, throw away, you know, even when we say stuff like nothing's changed, like, yeah, so it's very similar veins, not trying to say there's been, you know, this infinite amount of progress, but like some of this shit, it's like, the amount of hatred and vitriol and unchecked power that the average white person had was so, it was even beyond what it is today, and today it's ridiculous. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
Like, it, like, I can't even imagine the world where, you know, they were, you know, some of the things they were getting away with, you know, where something happens in another part of town because they want to kill some black man and they come burn my apartment down. Like, as you know, and honestly, to a certain extent, I think that's where a lot of people, when they bring up like, well, why aren't we unified like back in the day, it's like, that's where it went. Because back in the day, some shit happened to you, they can come burn my shit down too.
Right. Everybody was affected.
There was no amount of rich I could be to stop it. There was no amount of light skin I could be to stop it. Mm-mm. We was in it together by nature of the problem. And now I feel like, you know, we can kind of escape that. You know, like, if the white people get mad enough to burn something down, there's black people that live in gated communities now that'll be like, I don't know, them niggas must have did something, you know, like, but yeah, man, in a weird way, it also, when you think about like the act of rebellion that Pershing had, because you gotta think about that. He could die for that. That was not a time where you stand up to a white man and that's it.
Right.
You know, like if a white person decided to make that grudge their life's mission, they could come take your life and there was no repercussion for them.
Mm-mm, your life, your family life, your kids.
It was their word.
Nobody would get care.
Their word over yours, their laws over yours, everything. You know, things were even, like I said, even worse then than now. So he could have actually been killed for just that, you know, mild disobedience, you know, to be like, why don't you go get your mama? Because essentially what he was, you know, the other thing that was being suggested by that white man was, any black woman was essentially a sex worker to him. Go get me a clean colored girl. Not, this is the prostitute section of town. Not this, I see you're a pimp. He just stopped a random black boy and was like, go get me a clean colored girl. Cause essentially the way white people had, and it still exists to this day, but the way they had demagogue black women is that they were sexually so promiscuous and greedy for money and all this shit. They were predatory almost, mm-hmm. to the point where they were like, one, unrapeable, had no rights, no black woman's word would ever be believed over a white man. But then two, where it then demeaned their character, because, you know, this is also a time, I mean, we still look down on sex work, but
right.
This is a time where the mere accusation was enough to besmirch somebody's character. And, you know, that's why I wanted, you know, when we hear black people today, you know, bemoan respectability and all this shit, I'm like, respectability used to literally be life or death.
Yes.
Like, your reputation really was all you fucking had, and it was the thing that they attacked the most. You know, and it, unlike now where we just go, oh, you just think you white, or you just don't want to be like the rest of us. It wasn't like that. It was, I need to be a lady at all times, because if not, these people basically start saying, you know, you're rapable, I don't have to treat you any way I want to, and any man can disrespect you, and that's why your life is the way it is, you know. And while we know over the centuries that there's still people that think like that,
yes,
at that point in time you couldn't say fuck respectability, I'm gonna be out here with my titties out, fuck y'all. Like, it wasn't like that. So when people do that I'm not my ancestor shit, it's like, yeah, that means you just didn't understand the plight, and you aren't able to contextualize what our ancestors went through. You know, some of our biggest, most forward thinking people of that time, people that invented things that we take for granted now, like the NAACP. Mm-hmm. Part of their thing was like, and we have to put on suits and we have to, you know, and ladies have to walk this way and dress this way and be inside. And, you know, Ida B. Wells, was a person that, you know, said that a pistol belonged in like every household, every black household in the Western like frontier and stuff. But she also was a woman that wrote respectability columns every week about how we should dress, how women should act and all that stuff. So I just think contextualizing these situations is what's missing from a lot of analysis these days.
It is, and it's somewhat frustrating. That's why when it comes to a lot of like history and stuff like that, you almost can't talk to any and everybody, because some people are just, they just don't know, and they're very ignorant, and my time is valuable.
Right, and they want you to be ignorant.
Correct.
You know, like, they don't want to teach us all this stuff. You know, white people don't know or believe this shit. Black people aren't taught this stuff and normally don't seek it out unless someone guides them towards it. And so, you know, there's all these, you know, stereotypes that haunt, plague us to this day. Our ancestors never fought back. They was just docile, happy slaves singing in the fields and shit.
Like, have you looked at the word slavery, bitch? What? Who the fuck is a happy slave?
Right. Respectability just came out of nowhere, and, you know, black people just churched up for no reason. All this stuff that if you learn history and you know anything, then you're like, no, the black church was one of the most revolutionary arms of blackness in America. It's one of the few places we could congregate without being monitored.
Correct.
And it was where a lot of resistance planning took place. You know, that's why to this day you see one of the first thing black academics do in many cases, a lot of them go and get like reverend doctoral degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Because that used to be the bona fide that you needed to talk to black people. It was like, yeah, this nigga might have a PhD in some shit, but he ain't no motherfucking reverend. And yeah, now you got, you know, you see a Michael Eric Dyson giving a sermon, you see a Cornel West giving a sermon, because that was a rite of passage. You know, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, you're like, so many of these people came from that place. It was also a place where you could be educated. You could read, because you read the Bible. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be a good orator and all that stuff. So, like, it's just interesting when you think about history through the lens of, like, the stuff that we've gotten accustomed to or even learned to think of as not that big a deal. Like, someone telling some white man to suck their dick today, I wouldn't be like, oh, my God, you know. But, yeah, at that time, person doing that, I'm like, bruh, that's like the bravest shit you can do, you know. So anyway,
butterfly in the sky, I could go twice as high, take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow, I can go anywhere, friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow, I can be anything, take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow, a reading rainbow.
All right, let's get into the feedback and all that stuff. You know who we first got to shout out? The people that went to the blackoutist.com, mm-hmm. looked on the right hand side and said, let me give you some of this Trump check.
Some of that stimulus.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day.
New day. New Trump stimulus checks.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Triangle Wine Co. for the recurring donation. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Hope y'all being able to get by in this coronapocalypse.
Yes.
Calphonic G. Chris from Hawaii. Got a one-time donation from Raven G, who says, y'all deserve. Well, thank you. Okay. We didn't get no 5-star reviews, but you know what? We gonna take the 5s and the 10s and the 20s.
Come on.
Tabitha M, April G, Brianna F, Corey Deticula, Alexis H, Dana W, Tanya S, Samuel H, our boy Wonga from Down Under, Virginia G. We got Hannah L, who gives us a one-time donation and says, love the episode from yesterday about Governor Northam and getting people out voting. Thank you for doing such great work, Hannah. Thank you, Hannah.
Thank you, baby.
And in addition to the one-time donation, guess what else?
What?
She became a recurring donator.
Go ahead, baby. Thank you.
Stunt on them. Go ahead and head to the new members class, comrade. Walk her through it. Jesse J. Hit us with a brand new recurring donation as well. Welcome to the new members class.
Thank you.
Rebecca M. Shirley Wong Esquire. Please say the Esquire.
Mm-hmm.
Tiffany B. Jane M. Virginia P. We got a one-time donation from Nellie L., who says, been meaning to do this for a long time and finally getting around to it now that I'm at home all day with your show. Thank you, Nellie. And that's from New Zealand, y'all. Okay? We are global.
Come on.
Lindsay B., Palmetto Stone Magic, Alfonso M., Jeff F., and that's everybody. Play me out, Kirk.
Come on. Even though it hurts me, I smile. Y'all feel that? I know God is working, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while, still, I smile.
Hallelujah.
Ow. It's so hard to look up when you look down. I so hate to see you give up now.
People.
You look so much better when you smile.
Let's go.
Smile for me.
Whoa.
When you just smile for me.
Whatever you're in right now.
Smile for me.
Smile.
Can you just smile for me?
And the people say, oh. Right, let's get to this five-star review we got. But you want to know something? I'm so grateful that we got the five-star review from Samora Pettigrew, okay? Because you came through.
Yes, come on through the building.
When no one was thinking about us, you was thinking about us.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate you, Samora.
Thank you.
Thanks keeping us all up, says Samora. Five stars, Apple. Rod and Karen, thanks for being here during these crazy times. Your podcast is needed now more than ever. It has gotten me through some tough days lately. I need these laughs and the realness on a daily.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're doing. We're serving laughs and realness.
and the category is how to get through the coronavirus.
I was born and raised in NYC, so I have a lot of friends and fam living in the middle of the COVID-19 war zone. Keep up the good work. Mark from Queens, now in Austin, Texas. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Yes, crazy, man. Like, that's one thing about the internet. Like, it has connected us to so many people, and, you know, there's so many people that are just in my thoughts because I quote unquote know them via the internet, and they are living in some of these hottest zones in the world for COVID-19. And, you know, since I know them, most of the time it's black people and stuff too, so like I super, you know, worry about that with the, you know, with COVID-19 affecting us the most at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that is, you know, I'm glad to be giving people excuse to stay inside and chill, you know, and hopefully write 5-star reviews when they get time too. But, you know, hey, you know, priorities. All right, let's get episodes. We have feedback on the website, theblackguywhotips.com. The first episode was It's Never Whatever, which was our and no comments on that one, but we had a poll that had comments. The poll was, have you unfriended or unfollowed people over politics in 2020? Karen?
Not in 2020, no.
Karen has not. 60% said yes. I know I have. Several people. They said some stupid shit. I'm over it. I can't do it no more. I'm done.
And I guess because I don't really pay attention, and, you know, the way Facebook filter out and the way I put stuff out, they don't. That, not that they're not out there. It's gone down over the years, but it's just one of those things where I don't actually see it.
I feel you. 40% people said no. So, I mean, it's not like you're alone in that.
Right.
At any rate, Raven says, I voted no in the poll because I have already unfriended everyone around me with messed up political ideas back in 2016. So there was no need to unfriend anyone else now. I feel you, but they just be popping out. Like, but you know what? I know I have way more Facebook friends than the average person. So.
Right, right.
Like, motherfuckers just be volunteering. Ann says, same as Raven. I cut them loose long ago. Briche says, I haven't unfollowed anyone over politics in 2020 yet, but I feel it coming, right? I can feel it in the universe too, before, when the unfollow is about to happen.
And not only for the politics, is the coronavirus, because coronavirus apparently is politics too, so throw that in the mix when you talk about politics.
Yeah, that counts too. If you unfollowed anybody over some coronavirus hot takes, I count that.
Yes,
because it's breaking down over political lines.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, I think I brought it on the show, but like, I'll bring it up one more time, the fucking protest for the people that go, we want to open up the economy again, you know, they're in the Republicans that are in states that have blue governors or whatever, they're the ones being like, nah, we want to go out and we don't want social distancing, like, open up the businesses again, let us go out to restaurants, blah blah blah. And one thing I find funny is that these motherfuckers only have one outfit. It doesn't even matter what the it doesn't matter what the protest is for.
Nope.
Has anyone else noticed this shit? It don't matter if it's a, you can't look at a picture and tell what the protest is about.
Nope.
Is it for gun rights? Is it for pro-life? Is it for the alt-right? Is it for opening up the state's economy again? Is it a Trump rally? They all dress alike the same way. Like, it's always a gun, a bulletproof vest, some shades, some American flag paraphernalia, normally some Trump signs or something like that.
Some Nazi signs.
The Confederate flag. It don't matter what the fuck the protest is.
And normally, some form of blue jeans, and a lot of them would like to wear them blue jean coats or vests and jackets.
But it could be like, we against Taco Tuesday, and they show up with the same fucking thing. They never change. They don't even get embarrassed when they show up wearing the same thing. Like, oh my God, I was gonna wear my orange vest, and here you are showing wearing yours. Like, it's insane, man. I get so confused. Honestly, I don't know why the media actually travels anywhere. To take the picture,
stock photo.
You actually don't need to take the picture. If you went to Charlottesville, you already have all the pictures. It's just that, again, with these motherfuckers out there in the motherfucking sunglasses, a hat, some flags, guns, and all this shit. I'm like, what do you need guns for to talk about social distancing? What do you need a flag for? What does Trump have to do with this? It has nothing to do with anything. Y'all just make everything the same thing. It's crazy, you know. Oh, Ben and Jerry's, is they said they no longer gonna support Second Amendment or something. Well, let me go get my gun, let me go get my shades, I need my Trump flag, and
come on,
can't forget my American flag pants.
They got all the checklists, all of them got the same ass checklist.
Where's my camo? I'm like, are you going honey?
Yes, camo.
Are you going honey? Did you steal 10-6? What are you doing? Make up your fucking mind. God, these people get on my nerves. Like, can't y'all mix it up once in a while? Like, just dress as Confederate soldiers one time. Just throw us off.
Come on.
We'd be like, oh shit, damn, I didn't even know what this rally was about. You know? God, I missed the days of Klan robes. Bring them back. Okay?
At least I knew what you was there for.
This shit is crazy. Dragging the Eagles into this and stuff. Anyway.
Poor bald Eagles.
Let's see. Ann says, same as Raven, I cut them loose long ago. I said that one already. Briche says, also, there are still a lot of people defending churches being open, and I can't have that stupidity on my feed much longer. I did most of my unfriending during the Black Lives Matter years. Touche. I'm telling you, that period of time between 2007 to about 2016, that's when a lot of interracial friendships had to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you found out who was down, you know, and I'm sure relationships is even worse, you know. Barbara says, I also did the mute unfollowing friend back in 2016. That being said, I've been snoozing and hiding Facebook posts a lot since the beginning of the year for non-political reasons. Me too, man. Like, I'm not ashamed to say that. I will unfollow somebody real smooth, because that's the other thing too with us, especially with us being trapped in the house now. I think people operate in patterns, and sometimes people's pattern is like, what I would describe as frisky.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they saying things that they want to get a response that will start some sort of debate or argument.
Yes.
And when I see that energy, like, cause you know, it'll show you a couple times on your feed every few days or whatever. When I see somebody has that energy, a lot of times I will go ahead and unfollow them. Cause I'm like, you're looking for conflict. I don't know if you're just bored or what, but you're hoping to get like that. And it, you know, it could just be passive aggressive, but you're hoping to get that moment for you to like argue with people. And I don't really look for that.
No. I don't look for it either. And I know for me, yeah. And for some people, it is not even political stuff. I'll just mute you in a heartbeat. It's a lot of y'all that I'm like, I don't give a fuck about what the hell you talking about.
Yeah, I think for me, it's like, I don't go out looking for the shit. And I also try not to post anything to start some shit. But, right. You know, sometimes you just find out, oh, can't be friends with this person. That sucks. Let's see. Viva says, nope, I let them jokers go last decade. Well, I mean, that's only like 4 months ago. Lakita says,
but it still counts.
I count it. Lakita says, I had to delete one of my bros. Turns out he was a dramatic music. Burn it, bro. Dun, dun, dun. Once Sanders dropped out, I asked, does Bernie dropping out mean another 4 years? I legit thought I knew my audience. Yeah, so you was out there acting frisky, man. You know they gonna come through.
Nothing else to say, but they'll speak on that shit.
Won't they? One of my guys came through like, yeah, we putting him back in. He said it was such authority. I got upset. I got more upset because he black and we had been out. He was an imposter. How can he be a Trump support? I couldn't hit the block button quick enough. So glad I didn't give him any because I would have had to buy one of them good cleansing eggs. Mm-hmm. Goop cleansing eggs. Yeah. I feel you. Man. That's gotta be a scary feeling for the single people. You fuck somebody and find out later they're a Trump supporter or something.
Right.
Like, I don't know how they slide by the radar, but you know how they slide by, because the vast majority of us would never do it. So I can see why nobody would just default assume
that's
that.
That's not the topic of conversation. Yeah. Right.
There's probably a million things you ask on a date before you get to, let me just check. You didn't vote for Trump, did you? Cause like, I think I would be insulted if I was on a date and somebody's like, so you didn't vote for Trump. I'd be like, you know, this date is over. Okay. I thought you understood that I was not that type of nigga.
Yeah. A lot of people eliminate themselves way before you get there.
Do I look like I brush my hair from the back or
brush my hair from sideways?
Do I brush my hair from the front or what? Okay. Look at me. All right. Let's look at the next episode, 284. This is when Janelle James is on, 2084. It was called Quarantine Fight to the Death. Brooklyn Shoebae says, oh my God, Janelle James was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
This episode had me falling on the floor, especially the Guess the Race three-way that ended in a fight. Rod, I love how you slipped that Adam and Eve ad in. Although I just bought a new vibrator for the quarantine, I might go to Adam and Eve on the strength of your read. Hey,
come on. You can use the code over and over again.
In regards to Janelle saying that vibrators are too efficient, I agree. But once I had kids, I did not have the time to be leisurely. LOL, such a great, funny episode.
Right, you gotta get straight to it, ain't you? You can't be fucking around. They only got 10-minute nap.
Vibrators is for busy people. But I guess in the quarantine, maybe everybody ain't as busy. You know, we're sitting around.
I was saying, depends on what's going on. You actually might be busier, because now you have to squeeze it in where you can, because the kids...
Yeah, that's what Mama! I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. For some people, it might be the opposite. Like, everybody don't have kids. Right. Everybody don't, you know, work from home. So for some people, it's like, no, now's the time where I can lay out a picnic blanket, light some candles,
and take and my just time.
Go to town on myself. You know what I mean? And, you know, maybe a vibrator isn't exactly what you want for that, you know? Iman says, oh my God, Janelle was so funny. Y'all bring on the best guest. Social distance hugs for all the singles and folks with kids who can't get any privacy feeling that quarantine horniness. The first 3 weeks of quarantine were rough, but hey, but we figured it out. Love, Iman. Thank you. Yeah, man. I mean, the divorce rate is gonna go up because of the quarantine, man. The breakup rate, all that shit. Cause I mean, motherfuckers are about to, you know, get the test of a lifetime, you know, being in proximity to people that even when you like them, or if sometimes love them, do you love them 24/7 enough to be around their ass all the time?
Do you?
Everybody don't have that in them.
No, they don't. And it's also one of those things where for a lot of people, the sexual activity may go down because y'all around each other all of the time.
Yeah, like it's gonna be a test on everybody. Then how cool are you with all that stuff and whatnot? So, you know, I already see it now. You know, I'll be on minding my business on Twitter, Facebook, or something. You see them subliminals, and you're like, wait a minute, I think this couple is having an issue. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We all seeing it. You know, like, this is a shady Instagram post. But who could it ever be about? You know, quarantine. Now we know who it's about. It's not like when you was out and about doing shit all the time. Like, now everybody's sitting around like, oh, I know who business this is. Like, it's crazy.
Ah!
The poll is, are you still having sex in the quarantine? Yes, no, or does sex with yourself count? If so, yes. Karen?
Yes.
Well, no, for me. I don't know.
What? Who am I having sex with then? Right. Let me know.
Right.
Is there a clone in here?
Yes, 24%. 19% say no, and 58% say the sex with your count, self count. If so, yes. Kim Doc says, the amount of anecdotes you hear about people risking everything to leave that isolation and hook up with that old thing or the random thing is wow. Yeah, man.
Yeah, it ain't worth the coronavirus.
I'm sure it's easy for me to judge or whatever, but you know, I'm already predispositioned to be like, I don't really like people like that anyway.
Right.
So I can't even imagine it, but maybe if you get horny enough, it's like, I got to risk it. I don't know. Hope I never find out.
And not trying to funny, that's the kind of where the dildos and all this other stuff come in handy, because a lot of times once you quote unquote get it out of your system, you'll be fine.
Miss Barnes says, I'm my own best date. I cook myself dinner, I smell good, and I'm quick to entertain myself. I just don't know how I'm still single in these times. Too happy by yourself, that's what it is. You're too happy. Like,
I know.
Niggas start getting on your nerves. Like, wow, why even waste the time? I'm great company.
Right.
It must be you.
It can't be me, because I am fine by myself.
Right. I hope you don't think it's something I did.
Right, because the thing is, you just the second they start getting on your nerves, you be like, I actually had better time by myself. Right. You can go.
This episode... 2085, Ralph Northam for president. A lot of people love this episode. Mm-hmm. People love the last one too, though, with Janelle. Like, there were people all on Twitter and hashtag and stuff. And I do love when Janelle's on.
Mm-hmm.
I always feel like Janelle forgets how good a time she has with us, and then life happens. I do the same thing, by the way. I'm these people that I forget how good a time I had, and then I'll be like, why would I ever want to do blank? And then I do it, and I'm like, this is the funnest shit ever. Why don't I do this every day, you know? Anyway, we had comments for episode 2085, Ralph Northam for president. JL Colvin.
JL?
Left us a comment. The Ralph Northam segment was a complete masterpiece, actual cry laughing. Thank you.
Thank you. That's high praise.
High praise. Highest of praise.
Yes. From my non-comedian ass. That's high praise.
Yeah. We had a good time.
We did.
D Ramsey says, 5 stars for everything Ralph Northam. Shouts out to Karen's clapping and puns. Hashtag Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. He was doing it. Dia writes in, hi Rod and Karen, I wanted to provide feedback on the article you read that mentioned COVID-19 symptoms. The article mentions a woman who experienced spasms. I never heard that. My friend from grad school who lives in Detroit just went home Saturday after being in the hospital with COVID-19. She gave a 17-minute interview to the local public radio station. She works in political PR and was experiencing aches in her upper back the day before the Michigan primary, but assumed it was sinuses because that is how it starts for her. She figured she would push through. She went on to experience chest pains and seeing blood when she went to the bathroom. I never heard about that either. Yeah, I've heard about that one. From people that actually have, even people that have recovered. They say that that was one of the signs. I'm so grateful that she is recovering. She is also the first person I've heard say that after the virus leaves, you need about 8 weeks to recover, and she also needs physical therapy. Yeah, people, when you hear people say stuff like herd immunity or just let it go through the population, only 1-3% of the people is dying and most people recover. When they think recover, they think not die. This is a lot like, whenever you read an article and it says, they were able to escape without life-threatening wounds. without life-threatening wounds could be a lot of shit.
Yes, sir.
Like, okay, well, now you don't have a hand. You know what I mean? Like, your life wasn't threatened, but the nigga not having a hand is a big deal for the rest of your life.
My life wasn't threatened, but I can't walk the same. I can't move the same. I might lose my sight.
Yeah, so I think this is one of those catch-alls. It is what happens when we think of people as numbers and not actual people.
Right.
And that's one of the threats of the COVID-19 situation, is that it's such a vast situation that most people are just throwing numbers out. Oh, it's over 2 million cases. Oh, 625,000 people have it across the world. This many people have died. And it makes people compartmentalize it into like, yeah, that's not that bad. But it's like, no, if you have it and you're sick enough to either go to the hospital or sick enough to be bedridden or whatever, there's a chance that your recovery's not gonna be 100%. They don't, and because we haven't had it existing that long, we don't know. Like, there's people, there were studies they did in China that said people were regaining 80% of their lung capacity, which means they weren't coming back to at full 100% at the time that they have been doing this testing. Maybe that changes, maybe it doesn't. We don't fucking know. So the best case is try not to get it.
Not only that, they act like that 2-3% don't have fucking family members and nobody else is attached to them is gonna be impacted. Like, them people just drop off the face of the earth and everybody just goes on with life. No, bitch, it's hundreds of people connected to this part, to these people that's dying. Thousands.
Yes, yeah, it's not just numbers.
Right.
There's so much about this virus we don't know. Symptoms and all, spasms, back aches, blood is very serious. Here's a link if you care to listen. The Michigan primary was March 10th. She went to the ER that week, but did not get admitted to the hospital until March 30th, if I recall. She outlines everything she did to get a test and ultimately get admitted to a hospital. She basically battled COVID-19 for 2 weeks without a diagnosis. And by the time she could get a COVID test, she could not breathe. Thank you for being continued light during this health crisis. I normally listen to during my commutes, but now I listen while I work from my little island in the kitchen. It makes the day go by much faster. Hope you have something that blesses you as much as you both have blessed me with content over the years. Thank you, dear.
Thank you.
And I'll tell you what blesses me: these 5-star reviews.
Yes, sir.
And then she also said, comment number 2, I should have waited till I finished the episode. Goodness, when you mentioned people getting COVID twice, my mind went through those Final Destination movies, like the virus comes right back around. Lord help. Yeah, someone wrote in an email about that, so we'll talk about that in a little bit when we get to the email sections at the end of the show.
Okay.
Sofa King says, LOL, y'all niggas crazy, # Blackface Lives Matter. We had a good time talking about old Ralph.
We had a great time.
Speaking of Ralph, the poll was, would you consider voting for Ralph Northam to be president?
Yes.
Yes or no? 89% of you guys said yes, which means only 11% of y'all said no. And I gotta say, I'm in the 89%.
Yes, sir.
I'm not even joking about that shit.
Mm-mm.
I will leverage this blackface all the way to freedom. All the way. Y'all want to talk about getting socialism? We can get it if we get this motherfucker on the ballot.
Come on.
He'll do anything to get us off his ass. You forgive me yet? I'll forgive you when the reparations check come. All right, I'm on it. I'm on it. We'll be... Give me a second. Then we got answers. Rebecca says, your reading rainbow was fire today. Just to tie in some of the things you were talking about, the USPS is on the brink of shuttering if they are not funded immediately. Congress and Senate are dragging their feet to get this done. While it's great that Northam is extending the mail vote, it's going to be real hard to mail in votes if there's no USPS. Yeah, that's one of the reasons I think Republicans are doing this.
Right.
Because especially now, they want to use COVID-19, coronavirus, as a voter suppressant.
Yes.
That's what they want to do, in my opinion. I know it's a conspiracy or whatever, but, you know, I don't think it's that conspiratorial when we saw what happened in Wisconsin.
No, it's not.
I'm real tired of hearing people say to just let it close or be turned over to private sector. Idiot.
Right. Do you know how expensive that shit is?
The mail a letter with just like so we have a P.O. box at like a UPS store type thing or FedEx, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And to mail just like a letter, like if I want to mail y'all's Christmas cards from here to wherever you are, there's two ways. I can put a stamp on it. and put it in the mail, and for like, you know, 40 cents or whatever the fuck a stamp, 50 cents or whatever, right? Then there's people that, you know, you're out of the country or whatever. If I use our post office people, it's so fucking expensive. But if I, for a card, like this is not a card, you know how much a Christmas card weighs. If I go to the post office, I'm talking like I've never paid more than a couple of dollars.
Right.
To get it anywhere in the world. People are, and it's so reliable. Like it's, honestly, the people that normally fuck up my packages are not the USPS. It's normally somebody else, like one of these private companies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. People, this is that. And you know, the only reason that the post office used to be fine, by the way, they didn't have any deficit or any of this shit.
Mm-mm.
What happened was Reagan his administration tried to privatize it. And it's never been the same since. Like Republicans fucked it up, and now they blame that. They go, we should close it because it's fucked up. It was doing fine. Or my other, okay, Karen.
Oh, about to say, and a little bit more on the postal service. People in these rural areas, which is where a lot of white people live, in the middle of bumblefuck nowhere, they're going to be impacted more than any other group, because FedEx and UPS, I mean FedEx, you know, all these, they actually charge extra fees to go out into the middle of bumblefuck nowhere. They actually charge you for to go out into the middle of goddamn nowhere. And the thing is, on the real, this will impact small businesses. Like I don't think people realize the impact of this. People saying this now until they get charged out the ass just to mail regular ass shit.
And when you can't even fucking afford the, like, you're losing jobs now, losing healthcare shit, you can't afford that, you're not gonna be able to pay $27 for a privately, you know, a private sector mailing of some shit. That's just crazy.
Yeah, you're gonna have pieces of the country that are literally going to be cut off from everything. You know, most of our companies, is particularly work for any company of any size, that's how they set, they mail you your W-2s, they mail letters, like so many people use the regular ass postal service.
Or my other favorite is, all I get is junk mail anyway. We see how easily manipulated we can be with our internet image, I guess, imagine a company in charge of our mail in votes with a vested interest in a particular candidate. Exactly. Like, it's the other thing is, it's an impartial organization. You know, I don't know who the fuck FedEx and UPS and you know, I don't know who they give their money to and who they would want to see win an election.
Right.
And maybe that would affect some things. See Georgia 2018 midterms, for example. I do not have an answer as to how to say the post office, but Republicans have worked a good decade for the post office to falter. Well, you know what, man? When they are cutting $1 trillion checks, I don't need a good answer. Cut the check. You find the money for all the other shit. Just cut the fucking check. And I blame the American populace for this. Because we are the ones who sit on our asses, pat ourselves on the back for sitting on our asses, and expect to be catered to with no fucking investment in this system. And then we lose the things that people need. You think you care about people who are disenfranchised, marginalized, and poor. The post office also hires a lot of black people, black and brown people. When you talk about being able to afford shit, people that don't have money, they need the post office to work. But you have people that pat themselves on the back because they're like, if Bernie doesn't win, I'm not going to do anything. Or I voted for Jill Stein, or I don't feel like voting. Fuck everybody, man. Fuck those people. But this is the shit that's on the ballot too. These are all the things that aren't campaign issues that can absolutely be changed on a drop of a dime with the wrong person in charge. On the point of it's only junk mail I get from the post office, one, the post office has a contract with Amazon to deliver packages in rural areas. Two, the banking system and legal system is going to have a hell of a time with no postal service. Nick, dog, motherfucking the FedEx and all them, they use the post office all the time. I got a package from Canada today. Guess who I had to go pick it up at the post office, you know, because at the end of the day, the post office is gonna be the thing, because companies in Canada don't actually send Canadian trucks across the border to drive to my house. The people are crazy, man. The banking system and legal system is gonna have a hell of a time with no postal service, right? Not to mention the IRS, who most of y'all that expecting, the people expecting a physical Trump check, guess what, who's giving it to you? Guess how it's gonna get to your house? It ain't gonna be motherfucking FedEx. Thank you both for a great week thus far of episodes. Thank you. Viva says, I mean, what do we have to lose? Hashtag I'm over it. Yeah, what do I have to lose? That's the best one. Iman says, if he ever runs, I just want people at his rallies to chant moonwalk.
And then, yes,
and then he looks at his wife and she gives him the nod of approval, and she stopped him that one other time. It was like, it would be like how I felt seeing Bill Clinton play the sax on Arsenio Hall when I was in fourth grade.
Come on.
Yeah, man, if the moonwalk is crucial, I'm telling you, y'all not ready. Because black people are going to do a complete 180 on this man and be like, I love this black man.
Come on. It's going to be a gift and everything.
I mean, on the internet, you know, people will still be acting like, oh, see, this pandering, blah, blah. But in real life, black people love white people that can dance.
Be a TikTok and everything.
We can't help ourselves. It's something in our DNA. I don't know what it is, but it's true. Like, you know, the wave now is to pretend like it's no big deal. But every time you see a white person that can actually dance, it do something to your soul.
Yeah, it does.
The episode 2086 was Crocs versus Gators. Ann says, so the thing the Surgeon General said about knife for Big Mama and Abuela is strange, because when the WHO said the same thing, it referenced to heavy drinking in Europe, but we won't hear that version. And it's a quote, alcohol compromises the body's immune system and increases the risk of adverse health outcomes, the WHO regional office for Europe said on the site late Tuesday, citing the heavy alcohol use throughout the continent. Yeah, but, and I guarantee their whatever version of public health official didn't come out and say, do it for your mama mia, or like, you know what I'm saying? They didn't do that
shit.
They
was like, everybody, like, it don't matter, this affects you.
Like, the black people and the brown people, we got to do it for Pop, okay? Do it for Big Mama and her missing diabetes arm. Like, dude. Dr. Gay says, in reference to the people who have tested positive, then negative, and then positive again for SARS-CoV-2, the cases where this occurred, the return to a positive test occurred shortly after the negative test. This implies that it was not a case of reinfection, but relapse. The tests that were being used at the time were not as sensitive as the ones currently in use, making this scenario less likely in the future. Furthermore, they have done tests on non-human primates, which suggests that reinfection is unlikely. How long natural immunity lasts is not known. Some of those infected with SARS saw a reduction in immunity after around 2 years. MERS antibodies lasted a little longer. That being said, reinfection in the near term is highly unlikely. I do have a PhD in health services and have studied this stuff. However, you can also ask Coqui Negra about it. It's fairly important discussion to have, as it will have broad implications for how the pandemic is handled. Appreciate you, Dr. Gay. Like, you know, we don't know everything. We just some niggas talking, but.
Right. And it changes and evolves every day. So I don't know.
Yeah. The word and the verbiage I've been seeing has been reinfected. But you're right. Maybe it's just a relapse and maybe everybody's tripping. Either way, to me, it doesn't sound like it should change much of how things are treated. The advice generally is stay your ass inside.
Right.
And we do know that, like I listened to, why can't I remember the name of this? Reveal. It's called Reveal Podcast or something like that. And they talked to people that were living under quarantine, and there's varying time frames for what they really think quarantine should be. We're the ones going by 14 days, but there's other places where there's like 21 days. You know, there's places where they treat it shorter, where they like just stay in for a week. You know, science is still developing on a lot of this stuff, testing and all this stuff, finding out like how long someone's infected for, the different environments people's infections can do. What do we symptomatic people, like how does it spread from them and stuff like that. So, the main thing they're saying, wear these masks, stay inside, don't, you know, seem like that's gonna be the way to go. You know, if people just start being like, well, you had it, so you can't get it again, go outside, like, we're gonna have to be very careful about what that means exactly.
Correct.
Because they, like I said, they found people that even after they've quote unquote recovered have still been producing enough coronavirus particles and molecules in the air or whatever to give some, to infect somebody. So I don't know. And even that one, like the dead, the corpse gave somebody one, like I don't know, man. Miss Barnes 72 says, I'm part of, oh wait, EVE says, last sure did, life sure did come at that NASCAR driver fast.
Mm-hmm.
He could have kept that fake apology. He only sorry he got caught. Why is it when these racists slip up, they always say it's not who they are? Clearly it is, and wouldn't you know it, people pulled up old tweets about him being against kneeling during the anthem. Sounds like this thing is pretty on brand for him. Hope he enjoys unemployment. Well, you know what, EV, and apparently Karen, I'm gonna push back on that a little bit. Just a little bit. That might not be who he is. You know, I think, there's this thing where, I'll give you a perfect example, like, it's really what you want to believe, right? Like, we black people grew up with hip hop. Almost every black person you know says bitch. Whether it's affectionately, derisively, just as a, you know, you can say bitch the same way people say nigga. Like, just, whether it's gendered, not gendered, whatever, right? If you could go through the archives of our footage of all time, you're going to find moments where you slip up and say bitch, or you say bitch trying to be funny, and it's not that, and it's fucked up. You say it in a misogynistic way, or something, you slip up. There's gonna be some people that go, well then that's you. That's you forever. You fucking hate women. You'll never change. This is what you really are. You know, or, you know, there's gonna be people that will understand if you're like, well, I slipped up, but no, I don't really sit around feeling like women are bitches and below men and all this shit. Depending on your life experience, whether you believe that person or not.
And now that's true.
But whether it's true or not, none of us can call. Only the person saying it knows. So I look at nigga the same way. A lot of this is cultural. Like, these white people say nigga. Like, I don't think, I've never been under any, every single white person in existence, in America at least, has said that shit at least once. Whether in jest, whether in anger, whatever. When we're not around, I'm not a single white person. I don't give a fuck how cool you think they are. The coolest white person. You know, Ralph Northam did blackface. Now, I don't know if that's the real him, or if the Ralph Northam that's giving us all freedom is the real him. At the end of the day, I've just kind of resigned to the fact I don't know.
No,
but I do know that it's cultural more than individual. And so this individual kind of targeting of like, this person is a racist because they said this thing. I think sometimes it's applicable when it's, especially when it's something said like, you know, when you say something like say if people were to be like, you know, man, these niggers, I hate these niggers or something like that. That's to me is different than him being like nigger or whatever. That being said, it doesn't matter that much to me. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? It's not like I'm trying to like redeem the man, go to the cookout. I'm not gonna watch NASCAR. I don't support the man in any way. But I do find that there's this piling on that happens when we find the individual person that says nigger, as if each individual person isn't basically affected by this huge industrialized nigger complex that just niggers us all, right? Like, that's really what it is. You know, I'm not even joking. That's really what it is. Like, all these people are indoctrinated into this shit.
Right.
You know, maybe this will be his wake up call, that maybe it won't. I don't really care, to be honest, because I don't know this man, but mm-hmm. You know, I think about that shit a lot, you know, and maybe I let y'all into my world a little deeper than y'all, you know, than y'all, typically go, but because I, you know, I've been saying since we started this show, I don't look at white people saying nigger the way most black people do. Maybe it's because of the comedy side of me or something like that, but right. To me, I can see how somebody can say nigger and be white and mean it as a joke and it don't be funny to me. But I don't assume, well, it's because you're a piece of shit racist that hates black people. Like, it just depends.
Yeah, agreed.
It depends on the context and the joke, to be honest.
Yes,
and I hope that people, and I think also, everyone who does stuff like that, now he's not a comedian, but everyone who has done something stupid like that is mostly because they don't respect comedy and they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. And so when you have a lack of respect for comedy as in general and a lack of respect for what your words mean, or when you just feel like an entitled asshole and you don't care, you, all that stuff blends in together. You know, the real crux of it is, I don't know how much it matters to me personally whether or not you're a stone cold racist or whether or not you just thought it was funny to act like a stone cold racist. You know what I mean? Like, it really takes a lot for me to be able to like to look past that and be like, okay, you fucked up, but you're not, I don't think you're racist. Right. You know, like his the black dude Bubba Watson, that's a NASCAR racer now, he came out and was like, you know, I know Kyle and he's not like that and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, fuck, man, I feel so bad for Bubba now. Cause even if that's the truth, you're now the one black dude who works over there saying this dude is cool. You know, you think one day he will need another chance and stuff like that. Like, it's a terrible situation for all those people to be in, except, you know, I don't feel as much sympathy for the dude who said it. I just don't see why he did that shit. But whether he's like, and I, this isn't a defense of him, he might be a stone cold car carrying racist. He could be, but my point is he might not be. It just don't really matter. Miss Barnes says, I'm part of the Facebook target chat for team members. I turn for employees, and the word Karen is thrown around like nigga in a rap, with the hard en at that. It's universally used by white and black folks alike. You see these chicks out always speaking to a manager, the police, ask for a supervisor in person and on the phone. It never ends. These hoes can be at the heavenly gates asking to speak to God when they find out they can't get into heaven. Shaking my damn head. Yeah, that Karen energy is strong. Sometimes you gotta channel your inner Karen though, guys. The poll is, do you ever find yourself doom scrolling? Yes or no?
Yes, I have before. But initially, because I just wanted to know and learn and figure out what the fuck is happening and all that shit. But I had to stop that.
Well, you're not alone in this. The majority of our audience has done this. 58% of our audience finds themselves doom scrolling sometimes. 42% said no, which shout out to your discipline, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Rebecca says, I don't need to doom scroll. I just need to look out my window. Still have to go to work every day. My neighbor is sick with the Rona, and the paper mill my husband works at blew up yesterday. Jesus. Thanks for a great episode. You two stay safe. No, nigga, you stay safe.
You stay safe. Don't worry about us. We worried about you.
Dunder Mifflin blowing up. Like, what the fuck is going on in the paper mill that it could blow up?
Right?
I thought everything's supposed to be like either wet or paper in there.
Right. There ain't supposed to be nothing. I mean, no flames. I mean, shit, just paper.
Iman says, I voted no, but does it count if you keep scrolling and watching and reading unsolved murder cases or stories about serial killers? If yes, then I change my vote. Nah, that's not the same.
Mm-mm.
I've been listening to the, You Must Remember Charles Manson Murder.
That shit is wild.
Podcast, and I don't think that counts the same as, doom scrolling.
Mm-mm.
You know, them white people was crazy
as hell.
All right, we have no comments on our last episode, white Florida sheriff's deputy, but we do have a poll with some comments. Do you stand up for yourself at work? Yes, all the time. Sometimes. Rarely. Or no, never. Karen?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. 56% of the audience is in your category, Karen. Sometimes they stand up for themselves.
It depends on the situation and all that type of stuff.
You know, I'd also throw in this though. It also depends on the job, because right. Are you in a job where you need to consistently have to stand up for yourself? Or, right. You know, because I think in some jobs, it is like I'm always fighting to prove my love. And in some jobs, it's like, well, they treat me well. I don't really get in situations where I need to be like, hey, I'm standing up for myself.
Yeah, and also depends on the position that you have, because certain positions yes. might actually demand that.
That missionary is always hidden.
Apparently it is.
yes, all the time, 22%. 56% say sometimes, 20% say rarely, and 2% say no, never. I feel you. Shout out to your honesty on that one. Miss Barnes 72 says, I have to stand up for myself in the position that I am in mainly because I know my self-worth. There have been too many times I rolled over and they all it got me was stress and headaches. Come on, somebody. It irks my soul that so many assholes of low self-esteem have to pick on other people, but I have to fight my battles when I feel that my work knowledge is being questioned on a project. Whew, I felt that in my soul for a second. I did too. Take me to church. Amen. Cause I definitely have been that way. I've been that way in personal relationships more than work stuff, where I'm like, I guess I'll let this shit slide. And then later it comes back. I'm like, I shouldn't have let that shit slide. This motherfucker is terrible. Like I seen it from the dough and I still let the shit in the house. You know, that's on me. let's get into, I think we have some feedback from the line. 704-557-0186 is the voicemail. Just call, leave us a message. 2 minutes or less, it will get cut off. This person got cut off and they wrote us an email, but I'm gonna play it anyway.
Okay.
But yeah, feel free to call us. 704-557-0186 is the voicemail line on Skype. So, you know, 2 minutes or less, guys. All right. We're not playing.
Voicemail don't play. No, it don't play. It starts counting immediately.
Right. There we go.
Yo, what up, Rod and Karen? This is Tony calling y'all from the good old state of Mississippi. And man, I appreciate y'all for sharing this news about everything that's going on with this virus and keeping everybody entertained and everything. Man, I'm down here in Mississippi, well, right here outside of Memphis, man. And I can understand where y'all coming from because we're living in this area where we have three states right here. And everybody's doing something different. Like Tennessee shut everything down about a month ago. Mississippi is about 2 weeks behind everything. And, you know, I'm working in a place that's deemed an essential place and people are still just walking in like nothing is going on. They're still wanting to use the same services. Our company's trying to limit contact with customers and people still walking in, still wanting us to engage with them and interact with them. And we're telling them that we're doing things differently. And we're trying to protect everybody, not just ourselves, our customers, everybody's family. And, you know, we're still getting pushback on things because we're not doing things, quote unquote, the way that we've always been doing it. And I know it's an inconvenience and it's just wild that some people just disregarding it. I know the mayor in West Memphis, right across the river from us, came out and just basically told everybody to stay their ass at home. We still got people just out here just wilding. Like nothing's going on. And like I said, I just appreciate y'all for just sharing this news and everybody listening. Hey, just heed the what everybody's saying. You know, if you don't have a reason to go out, I try my best not to go out, but you know, my wife works in healthcare and I'm working there in a service that's deemed essential. So we both having to go out every day, go to work, and our son is here at the house and we're just trying to do our best to protect ourselves and our family. We're not interacting with anybody else outside of our house. So that's all I got for it. And you know, like I said,
that's when you got cut off. But yeah, man, you have to do that. My mom made us some masks the other day, and you know, we had to practice social distancing, man. We came to pick up the mask and we stayed in the car. She came outside and waved, you know, like you definitely, you know, it's just changed things, but this is the right thing to do, the smart thing to do. And sadly, the thing that I see that sometimes gets to me is when we go out and you see people that don't have the mask, don't even cover their face,
don't do social distancing. Right. Like a lady today, I looked at her like, and she didn't stay around me long, but I looked at her like, okay, now you need to move, ma'am.
Right. You know, you have these moments where it's just like some people don't think this is serious enough to change. And then obviously it's not as bad for us as I've seen in places where you literally have people that are like, you know, I'm the governor, we ain't doing it, we just gonna act like everything's normal. Or the people that do the like, yeah, we gotta do social distancing, but I'm gonna go and rally against this, to prove some type of point to Trump. I hate that shit.
Yeah, and for a lot of companies, they've changed their procedures and things like that. I know that, for for where I work at, they certain branches actually literally lock their doors. They like, mm-hmm. no, read the sign. You better call us and let us know you coming. We're not even going to let you in here. So you just gonna be mad outside calling us while you look at us. Cause they's like, it is not a motherfucking case. We said curbside pickup. We meant curbside pickup, bitch.
Yep. Yep. And I appreciate the people that come in and like, you know, I was in, Publix the other day and, the guy was like, hey sir, it's supposed to, the lane is one way only. They changed all the lanes to one way only. And I was like, oh, thank you. Like, I appreciate, like, he on his job. Like, yes, please tell everyone. Cause I'm trying to do whatever it takes to protect myself and others, period. All right. Last voicemail.
Yo, this is, at Mom's Drag with Swag on Twitter. Sierra, nigga. Rod, I need you to watch. Karen, I need you to watch. Season 1, Episode 5 of hashtag Black as Fuck. Nigga. Nigga. Period. Kenya. 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 I'm sold. Nigga. The first title was called Slavery. Episode 5 is called Yo, Between Me and You. Nigga slavery. I just, because this is FUBU, and I need you to watch this, because this is the shit that I'm, this is the conversation that, Rod, you have been talking about since you created the Black Capitalism segment and before. Nigga. This is why I watch Tyler Perry, How to Get Away with Murder, Us, Green Book, all this, cause, nigga, I'm a multifaceted nigga. Shout out. I love it. Full fucking circle moment. Nigga. It's on Netflix, nigga. I just keep it in there, nigga. It's a nigga moment. And I just wanted to share with you this moment in niggardry. And, Karen and Ryan, please be safe. It's alright, Karen, to stay in the house. Fuck that balcony. Fuck that air. It's okay, girl. Love you. Bye.
Bye, sweetie. Thank you, Sierra.
I just started getting out a little bit more, but yeah, for a while there, it was just straight outside. Nah, we good. We can't be friends.
Yeah, y'all can say it's okay not to be out there till y'all. I don't want to be in here with her being all depressed. Like,
yeah, it has started to affect me because I can say when you're used to going outside 3 times a day, like, you know, because at my job, I would morning break and an afternoon break and lunch. I was used to getting the sun. Now I wasn't getting no sun. That shit started to affect me. I didn't realize how much it started to affect me.
Yeah. So I can't, y'all can talk that shit from, over there, but over here, I got to live here. So
it started making a difference when I started going outside.
Right. Some sunshine and some melanin need each other. So, you know, I gotta get out the house a little bit, you know. And like I said, our balcony, we not even in high traffic. We the lowest traffic balcony in the fucking complex.
I think we are.
We literally will be fine. Like if the Rona hop around there, it was just going, it was like Final Destination. We was going to die that day no matter what.
No matter what.
But yeah, I will check out Black as Fuck. My girl Bossy's been watching it and she, hit me up about it and she loves it and she was like, this is everything about Black Twitter, you know. And I'm gonna be real, man, unpopular opinion, I guess, or maybe it's a popular opinion, but not with Twitter niggas. I don't hate Kenya Burris, and I don't know why we have to, like, or why people are so adamant that this nigga's like the evilest motherfucker in the world. It's really like, niggas get successful and then immediately the people that was like starred for this Black person to come fill this gap immediately turn on a man. Like some of the, like, and I'm not saying all his, I mean, he's probably put out what, over 100 episodes between Blackish, Mixedish, and fucking Grownish.
Mm-hmm.
He probably put out hundreds of episodes of content at this point. I'm assuming you're not gonna agree with some of the points, some of the episodes, some, but here's my thing. If you person listening to this ever was able to put out hundreds of episodes of content, there's somebody else, you just haven't made it to that level yet.
Correct.
But there's somebody sitting around being like, man, fuck you. And the way you feel about that is probably how he feels, which is, this is the real me, this is as honest as truthful as I see things through the comedic lens that I'm, you know, gonna make. And yeah, so you might not fuck with all of this shit and that's gonna be okay, but a lot of people do, you know. And I think what gets lost in the shuffle with all the complaints online is that a lot of people fuck with this shit. Yes, everything people talk bad about that's super popular, well, there's a lot more people that actually like it and don't have those problems with it. Mm-mm. You and know it, or they had those problems and they overlook it because they're like, it's not that big a deal.
That, and it didn't become popular because nobody was watching the shit.
Yeah, that's what I'm, yeah, so you know, it's just, I don't know, it's interesting, you know. I normally just say this shit for the show or talk to people offline. Mm-hmm. But like sometimes I really do not understand the impetus to be so pro-black that you hate all the black shit.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Correct. You get the shit that you claim because diversity is part of it, and you claim we're not a monolith, and then somebody does something that's outside of what your normal is, and then you complain.
Yeah, I don't want to be that woke, man. Like I
don't either.
Even when I don't like some black shit, I normally try to keep it to jokes and move the fuck on.
I let
like
them cook.
There's people that have online, like their personality is, I gotta get at Kenya Burris and at Barris or whatever. And then a big part of it is that they can't say, they won't be able to say this show is funny. They won't be able to say, well, you know what, he addressed some of the commentary that people have said about him. They won't even be able to say that with this show because that would kick them out of the little circle that's being created. That's like a social circle of fuck him. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's one of the things that scared me off of a lot of people was that social pressure to constantly be in on who we hate and who we like together all the goddamn time. Right. I can't do it.
Mm-hmm. And so, we all have different tastes. We all consider various different things funny. So, you know, cause there are things that I think is hilarious that might be offensive to somebody else. Like, we all have different levels.
Yeah, I'm seasons behind on, Black-ish. I haven't watched any Grown-ish or Mixed-ish. So, mm-hmm. It's not even like I'm some super huge fan of him like that, but it's like the hate got out of control, man. Yes, it's just like, damn, y'all like, this nigga is Hitler. Like, it's, I don't know. It's just crazy, but I do want to watch Black as Fuck because people I trust have said it's funny, and to me that's more important than the internet's like, we hate him now.
Agreed.
Type of feeling vibe. And don't write in with whatever the fuck he did. I've seen the stuff that people it does not fuck with me the way it fucked with them. You know what I mean? So you don't even have to waste your time being like, why he ain't cast his family as dark skin? Hey man, his family is light skinned in real life and he wanted to make the show real to his life, you know. Now y'all gonna kick Rashida Jones out of blackness or whatever. Like, good luck. Good luck. Your boys, I'm just not going through it with y'all. Donna writes in on our email, theblackoutist@gmail.com, Black Monday. Hi guys. How did I never hear of this show, Black Monday? Thank you for your Janelle James interview, and as always, thanks for everything about the show. Thank you, Donna.
Oh, thank you, baby.
I'll tell you why you didn't hear about it, because it's not enough people watching it that have a problem with it, because when you watch something you have problems, that's when motherfuckers write the longest think pieces.
Yeah, or the people that are I hate everything type people, this hadn't hit their
site. Well, not yet. Just that, man, it's all the shit people claim they want.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the shit people claim they want. And guess what? These motherfuckers don't watch it.
No, they don't.
You know, like, this is another reason I can't take these complaining ass people serious, because they watch all the popular shit that they know they won't like, and they talk about it ad nauseum. But then they claim, well, why can't I get a show with some dark skinned people? I want more black people in it. And why every show gotta be about suffering? Why it can't be funny? Why it can't be this? And here comes this show that's all checks every little fucking box that you complain about, and you don't even watch it. You mm-hmm. know, whatever, dog. It's still a great show.
Yeah, that's why I dismiss those people and go, okay, I can't take you seriously, you or your opinion.
There's no Santa Claus at all, says Sonya, who says, hello Rod and Karen. So I happened upon an older episode where I finally wanted to listen to episode 1797, Bullet Ball Explained, with Justin, and never in my life have I been so hilariously conflicted. I can't not ruin this for other listeners who have not heard it, but I listened to it and stayed horrified. I laughed like hell, and I have so many questions, mainly for the ex-wife. It was a lot, lol. I listened to the podcast for almost 2 years now, wondering what Bullet Ball was, and now in the year of our Lord and coronavirus 2020, I finally found out. and I have to equate it to finding out that Santa Claus is not real, the Easter Bunny ain't shit, and I'm a soulless I'm a soulless monster for laughing like hell.
If you pass that test, you get our sense of humor.
The main takeaway I got from it is I should never give up on my dreams. The other takeaway is that not everything needs a soundtrack to it. Shaking my damn head. Love y'all, Miss Barnes. Thank you, Miss Barnes.
Thank you.
Yeah, he definitely found a way to persevere, you know? And he had the rap with the remix. Mm-hmm. Speaking of rap and remixes, the last email is from Ahmad, who you guys may know as Infrared Crypto. If you guys listen to Three Guys On, you hear us over there. You know, mm-hmm. He's sent us beats. I've used them for like ads, background music for like some of our premium podcasts and stuff like that.
Thank you, baby.
He's a great producer. And so he actually sent us 5 beats in.
Yay.
Hi, Rod and Karen. This is Ahmad, aka Infrared Crypto. Just wanted to appreciate you all for the great content during this pandemic. I've been enjoying shows lately, and it's been a delight to hear you guys every week. I just wanted to send you all a few new beats I created for the podcast in case you all needed any music in the foreseeable future. Just trying to get my creative juices flowing with this time. Feel free to use them anytime. Hopefully you'll enjoy them. Thank you all so much, Ahmad.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I actually did download them so I could play them.
Okay. Yay.
Let me see if I can get this thing to play right. Cause for some reason it wouldn't play one of my players. Like, it wanted to play in iTunes or something like that instead of the Groove or whatever the fuck Microsoft puts on your shit. one of these old defunct ass Microsoft programs.
Right, it's like, can I be your default? No, bitch. I don't want you as default.
Zune, Groove.
Yeah, you be like, why is this even still on here?
Windows Media Player.
Yes, Windows Media. Now that shit pops up. I'm like, the fuck you come from?
Yeah. So the first one is called Bloomin' Dreams. So it's probably about Outback or something. The Bloomin' Onion there. Got the little chimes going, I hear it. Yeah, we could definitely use that for like an ad read or, you know, when I come out with my mixtape.
Yes, Sweet Boy the Tyboli is back.
I like that.
It's a laid back beat.
Yeah, it's groovy. That's that Bloomin' Dreams. Okay, let's see what else we got here. We got this one's called Bounce Again. Let me see what this one sounds like. But yeah, I realized I could use them for ad copy the other day. I was like, yeah, we can start doing some ads. Oh. I like that too. Mm-hmm. That's smooth. Oh yeah, man. I mean, like I said, he always does such great work. But yeah, that's a smooth a stone cold groove, as we used to say back in the old days. This next one is called Fretless Wonder. I feel like I should be doing more over these beats than just playing them. Oh, I like this one the most so far. I think I like this, either this one or the last one the most so far.
This sound like some lo-fi.
Mm-hmm. Some good steady music. Like somebody could sing an R&B hook to this.
Come on.
Put Fonte on this.
Yes, Fonte.
Yeah, man. I mean, very talented dude, man. Mm-hmm. You know, I almost feel bad because, like I said, we don't really have like a hip hop show, really. It's, we just playing the beats. I feel like, you know, we should, like, it's not like we have Freestyle Fridays or some shit.
Right?
To like really juice up these beats to, you know, to make it more.
To give them justice.
Yeah. This is Rising Waves. Like, gonna have a type of beat flip coming in here in a second or something.
Yes, you continue to play it, Prada Will.
Yeah, I hear you get a little jazzy with it. Yeah, man. And then he left one more called Subsonic. But yeah, we'll definitely use these for the show, man. For sure. And then, you know, sometimes I do like rap parody shit on stuff. Might do use it for that. You know. Normally I go on Spotify and just find some royalty free beats. And that's what I've been that's what I, you know, have been doing. So yeah.
Thank you, baby.
I'm trying to get this last one to play for some reason.
Okay.
Let's try to. Maybe I hit the wrong.
You're very good at your job, sweetie.
Oh. Oh, just the best one. There's already off break. That was my bad. I hit it twice. Try to unpause it. Oh, that's my. Yeah, this is the best one.
You know, it just sounds like some video game music.
It does. Maybe that's why he called it Subsonic.
Sound like about a ding, 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 ding.
You want to go ahead and rap over it real quick? Go ahead. Why not?
I'm about to say, I'm bad.
All right, I'll start the rap and then you can finish it, okay? You ready? Here we go.
You say so.
Coronavirus, my third eye is open like I'm Osiris. Look at my iris, write this down on the papyrus. Karen coming through with the silence. The violence is what we kick it with. Non-violence is how you get stuck and sticky with it. The blood is wet, but the boy Ra, he don't never ever forget. We talked about the progress. Motherfuckers wanna talk to the Congress. I don't wanna digress, but you better get up out of your seat and make sure you go vote when it's time to eat. When it's time to meet. Okay, there you go. That's all I got. Karen, go ahead and finish it off. Go, Karen. It's your birthday.
Lord. It's Karen in a house and I'm here to say the coronavirus in a special way has ruined everybody's life. So y'all niggas stay at home tonight. I'm terrible at this, y'all.
No, that was good. I like that. That's
I'm bad at this.
I like the start of that. My name is Karen and I'm here to say I love Fruity Pebbles in a major way.
I didn't know where else to start. I'm not good.
That was good. Don't knock yourself. This is what happens when people actually freestyle, you know?
Yes.
This is what it sounds like. But thank you, Infrared Crypto,
thank
for the beats, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't do your beat justice, but
you
thank
did. You can stop apologizing. Stop knock yourself down, Karen. Come on now. We don't need this in 2019.
Okay. We gonna keep it positive. Just like, my has improved, my rap game can improve.
Mm-hmm. This is all freestyle fun stuff. Okay, this you know, he sent these beats in because he wanted us to rap over them and say stuff to make it fun and cool for everybody, you know.
Yeah, we can have fun.
So that's what we doing. Go ahead and give him some of them bars about Trump, Karen. Go ahead.
talking. We on some bars about Trump. I got to, okay, hold on. I'm about to start the thing. My name is Karen and I'm here to say, fuck Trump in a special way. He's an ass. He's an ass. Don't let your president get your ass whooped. Fuck Donald Trump. That nigga sucks.
That's pretty good. That's, you know, these are the bars that he wanted to, you know, that's not how I would have took it.
He makes me mad.
You know, that I was thinking we was gonna give some good Trump bars, but I feel you, you know. Like my girl's Diamond and Silk, you know. They would have killed this. All right, y'all, that's it for today.
They would have killed it. They'd be like, we love Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the man. He's the first black president. Everybody stand. That's how they gonna go.
All right, y'all, that's it for today, man.
We will continue to coon.
Okay, Karen Wimble, I don't think she won't let me in the show, guys.
I'm sorry, y'all.
You were secretly wanting to rap the whole time.
No, I was not.
You trying to act like, trying to play it down.
I was not.
Mm-hmm. Now you can't let it go.
You got me started.
The inspiration is hit. Okay.
Say, we still on Donald Trump? What is we rapping about now?
I don't know what's going around the world today. Ralph Northam.
Oh, that's a Virginia governor?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Shout out to my nigga. He's representing black people in a special way. He's letting us know he is on our side. Before he gets done, we're gonna have freedom, y'all. Real freedom, y'all. He's like, what you want? Let me know. Put it on the list. I'll pass it today. If I don't today, it'll get done tomorrow. He's like, you want to write the vote? I got you. I'm good on any MLK Boulevard. That's what they say. My wife, you know, she told me I can't moonwalk. But you know what? I'm a moonwalk past these bills for you.
Was there a lot of rhyming going on in those raps?
I told you, I don't be listening to...
It was very De La Soul type of flow there.
Yeah, I don't be listening to the 16 bars. I'm sorry.
The rhymes was optional on this one, but...
Yeah.
I appreciate the effort.
Okay? I mean, I'm giving you effort. You know, that's why I was saying, you know, you're supposed to kind of get on the twos and the fours with the beats. I might can dance on twos and fours. I can't rap in the 16 bars, nothing like that.
I thought it was great, Karen.
Thank you.
I appreciate the work.
I was trying.
You did. You did good. All right. Now I'm going to end it for real this time. Unless MC Karen over there got some more bars.
I'm about to say, you got some more bars.
I was going to wrap it up. So. it sounds better than, I think it sounds better than Elton Howard Jr.
Oh no.
It's better than Mike, you know.
I'm trying, y'all. I tried.
So, you did good. All right, y'all. That's it for today, man. Thank y'all for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.
We will. MC Karen in the house.
MC Karen is in the house. Okay. All right. Tell your friends. Her name is Karen. She's here to say. Okay. She is here to say.
She is here to say she will not demand a manager.
Mm-hmm. We'll see you guys, tomorrow. And then Monday, we have a guest, Mike Kaplan, comedian. It's been a while since he's been on the show, but.
I can't wait.
To be here on Monday. He has an album coming out. And I want to say next Sunday is JL Covan.
Yay!
So, and then I know Chris Lambert's coming back soon. So, lots and lots of guests, guys. All right. Until next time, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.